The title of this morning's message is Virtuous Motherhood. Virtuous Motherhood. And as we celebrate Mother's Day, I am very aware that motherhood in the 21st century has gone through what we could call a downgrade, or it is held in the minds of people today as almost a position that is to be demeaned. It's a lowly position. It is a position of inequality, so the world says. It is an optional pathway of life for women who couldn't get an education, so the world says. I think the following accounts will help you to understand what I'm trying to say. I think these accounts will help you grasp a insight, if you like, to the cultural mindset of motherhood in the 21st century. And will, at the same time, I pray, give you a glimpse into this God-given crucial role of being a mom. Here's the first account, and I quote, "Standing in the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, if you didn't know, Emily had hesitated when asked by the woman recorder to state her occupation. What I mean is, explained the recorder, do you have a job or are you just a housewife? Of course I have a job, snapped Emily. I'm a mother. Well, we don't list mother as an occupation. Housewife covers it all, said the recorder emphatically. A friend of Emily's who had been told of this demeaning encounter at the DMV finds herself not long after in a very similar situation at the front desk of the local town hall. The clerk was obviously a career woman, poised, efficient, possessed of a high-sounding title like the official interrogator or town registrar. And she said, what is your occupation, ma'am? Sue opened her mouth and out popped, well, I'm a research associate in the field of child development and human relations. The clerk poised ballpoint pen frozen in midair and looked up as if she had not heard right. And so Sue repeated the title slowly, emphasizing the most significant words. And then she stared with wonder at her pompous pronouncement as it was written in bold black ink in the official questionnaire. Research associate in the field of child development and human relations. Might I ask, said the clerk with new interest, just what do you do in your field? Coolly, without any trace of fluster in her voice, Sue replied, I have a continuing program of research, what mother doesn't, in the laboratory and in the field, that's both inside the home and outside the home. I'm working for my master's, that's the whole darn family, and I've already have four credits, that's four daughters, of course. The job is one of the most demanding in all of the humanities. Any mother could agree to that, I'm sure. And I often work 14 hours a day, 24 is actually more like it. But the job is more challenging than most run-of-the-mill careers, and the rewards are in satisfaction rather than just money. There was an increasing note of respect in the clerk's voice as she completed the form, stood up, and personally ushered Sue to the front door. As Sue drove down the freeway, buoyed by her glamorous new career, she was greeted on coming home to her lab assistants, aged 13, 7, and 3, and upstairs she could hear her new experimental model, 6 months old, in the child development program, testing out a new vocal pattern. Sue felt triumphant. She had scored a beat on bureaucracy and had gone down in the official records as someone more distinguished and more indispensable to mankind than just another housewife. Well, today, I want to honor the God-ordained role of motherhood. I am not saying I want to honor cultural motherhood, that 21st century humanistic view of motherhood. No, I don't want to honor that this morning. I want to honor the motherhood as designed and proposed by the God of this universe, by the Creator who is eternal and who knew what He was doing and has not changed His plan. And I want you to honor motherhood with me by turning to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, here we are exposed to the excellent or the virtuous woman who is also, I might add, a virtuous mother. She instructs her son in the first 9 verses here, her son Lemuel, who was king. She instructs him as to how to live his life as a king and what to avoid and what he should be characterized by as a king. She is a virtuous mother. And in verses 10 through 31, she lays out to her son the characteristics and the qualities of an excellent woman and a virtuous mother. Qualities that honor God and that I want to honor here this morning and let the Word of God lift high. Verses 10 through 31, I want you to note, and you won't notice this unless you have a Hebrew Old Testament in front of you, but I want to make this point that Proverbs 31:10 through the end are written as an acrostic. They are written as an acrostic. You know what an acrostic is? An acrostic is a word, and you take something off each letter of that word. Like mother, you have something for M, and something for O, and something for T, and something for H, and so on down. Well, in this case, the writer lists out the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Heth, so on. Write down 22 consonants. 22 verses here that declare the qualities and characteristics of virtuous motherhood. This should lead us to understand Proverbs a little better, particularly this chapter. The writer is not trying to give a nice kind of flow of thought and connect it all together and move from sort of the lesser to the greater or the greater to the lesser. No, he's motivated, in this case, the writer is motivated to record these words of this godly mother in such a way that they highlight these major qualities. 22 praiseworthy things to say about her. And some of you are sitting there and you know me and you think, I hope he's not going to try and do 22 this morning because we'll never get through them. Amen. Well, I'm going to do it the easy way. I'm going to read them, and you're going to read with me from verse 10. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar and rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. And from her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. And she stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, and her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I want to read that verse again. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Well, I can't hope to cover every one of those incredible, praiseworthy characteristics of a virtuous mother. But what I want to do this morning is I want to consider highlight eight aspects of motherhood that I think we can draw all these verses under, and I'm going to try and do that for you this morning. And as I do that, husbands, I want to call you to honor the woman that God has put beside you. I want you to honor the woman who has borne your children. And if your wife has not borne children, I want you to honor her and encourage her, whether she has a natural offspring or not is not the issue. The issue of motherhood is the heart of your wife a heart that reaches out and that is qualified and quantified by these praiseworthy attributes? Men, I call you to stand with me this morning and honor what God honors. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And so the first characteristic that I want to bring to you this morning, first aspect of motherhood that we can give praise to God for, is found right there in verse 30. And it is this. It is that a virtuous mother is a woman who fears the Lord. A virtuous or an excellent woman is a woman who fears the Lord. Now remember what I said before, the writer is stringing together all of these characteristics like pearls, and he's putting them all together on a necklace so that we can walk out of this holding these together. This virtuous mother who fears the Lord is a woman who knows that the most important aspect of her life is not to adorn the outward appearance, but rather to adorn the hidden realities of her heart. This woman has come to see through the revelation of God's word that left to herself, she would only bring shame and reproach because of her rebellious and sinful heart. She has seen, as she has been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the glorious good news concerning the salvation that God offers through him, she has seen the need to humbly come and bow her knee before God, submit her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to serve him as his slave, as his servant. She has confessed her sin, and she has begged for the forgiveness and mercy of a holy God. And she's found that mercy. And she's found that forgiveness. And she's been embraced by God. And she's been brought into that beautiful relationship that everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ experiences. And that's a relationship that we know the future. We know and have a certainty that one day we will be glorified with him. And we will stand and give him praise and glory and honor for the things he's done in our lives. She is a woman of faith. She is a woman of faith, seen by the fact that she trusts in the certain promises of God and not in the vain hopes of human appearance. She trusts God. She fears God. And she finds refuge and strength in the Lord's plans and purposes for her life. I think of women like Ruth when I think of this kind of woman. A woman who stood, a Moabitess, one who was outside the family of God, as it were, one who was not an Israelite, one who was not under that covering that God had put over that nation. And yet she stood and she said, their God will be my God, and their people will be my people. Why? Because she feared the God of Israel. This is a woman who fears the Lord. and her fear has drawn her to God. And I want to say this morning, if you are running from God because you're afraid of God, then you are not yet as afraid as you ought to be, whether you are a woman or a man here this morning. In fact, your very flight from God is a mockery of God, for you presume to think that you can outrun God. Can't outrun God. The woman who fears God, the mother who fears God, doesn't run from Him, she runs to Him. Because if you really fear God and love your own life, then you will stop running and you will turn 180 degrees. You will lay hold of God as Mary laid hold of the feet of Jesus in that garden tomb and clutched onto Him. Because why? Because He was her hope. He was the resurrection and the life. And a woman who fears God is a woman who lays hold of God. The fear of the Lord is the fear of fleeing out of His fellowship. When the Bible talks about the fear of God, it's the fear of running away from fellowship with God. That's the issue here. Therefore, the fear of the Lord is truly full of peace and security and hope, and it keeps us near to the merciful heart of God. For God is our fortress. God is our strength. God is a stronghold in times of trouble. God is the one who surrounds us and keeps us. He goes before us and he comes behind us and He walks beside us. This is the God we worship. This is the God of the Bible. Isaiah 8 verse 13 says, "The Lord of hosts, let Him be your fear and let Him be your dread, and He will become a sanctuary." Did you hear that? You see, a proper view of the fear of God keeps us under the shadow of His wings and protects us. He keeps us in a place where we need not be afraid, where we need not fear the future, where we can be bold and courageous. Therefore, the fear of the Lord is accompanied by tremendous blessings. Listen to the Psalms, Psalm 25, 14. "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him." What a blessing! To say that God is your friend. Can you say that this morning? Do you fear God in such a way that you know your sins are forgiven, that your heart is cleansed, that you have a new heart and a new mind, and that God dwells within you? And can you say this morning, God is my friend? God makes known to that kind of person, this one who fears the Lord, He makes known to them His covenants. Psalm 31:19, "How abundant is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for those who fear Thee and wrought for those who have refuge or take refuge in Thee." Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them." Psalm 103:11, "As the heavens are higher and above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him." And verse 13 says of that same chapter, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him." Psalm 145 verse 19 says, "He fulfills the desire of all who fear Him." And so we see from Proverbs 31 that a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised, because a virtuous woman is a woman who first and foremost fears God. Secondly, as we come back to Proverbs 31, look with me at verse 10 through 12. Do not, verse 10 through 12, Proverbs 31, "An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of his life." That word, excellent, excellent. People mock me because of the way I say it. But I hope you remember it. It's excellent. Okay, it's how Kiwis say it. But an excellent wife, this word excellent speaks of strength. She is a woman of force. She is a woman of character. She makes a difference in life with her life. She leaves her mark. That's the idea here. She is excellent because she is not common. She is not easy to find. That's why the scripture says that when a man finds a wife, a godly wife, he finds what? A good thing. Because of her scarcity, she is of incredible value. She is a woman who knows how to be a true helpmate and a companion to her husband. She submits to his headship. There is no dishonesty in her heart, no deception, no rebellion. Her heart is for her husband. Her husband can leave her alone, and there is no jealousy. John MacArthur writes, he says, there is no jealousy, there is no fear, there is no suspicion, no concern, no anxiety in her husband's heart, for he knows that his care is her concern, and that his comfort is her passion, and that his burdens are hers to relieve, and that his ease is her highest priority, and her house has become the home of her heart. This virtuous mother must first and foremost be an excellent wife. She must first and foremost be an excellent wife. She understands that the primary relationship of a marriage is the husband and wife relationship, and so she invests the right amount of time in that. She might have six children to feed and to clothe, but she knows that the primary relationship is her husband, and so she builds that relationship and continues to build it. She knows that if this relationship breaks down, then the family breaks down, leaving the children to grow up in an insecure world full of fears and anxieties, full of self-preservation and self-focus. And beloved, this morning, when you open your eyes and you look around the world we live in, you know the culture we live in, you even may be a part of this very thing where the primary relationship of a husband and wife is broken down. As you look at that, you see the damaging and the damning effects of broken relationships. A virtuous mother is first an excellent wife, and she understands this relationship with her husband is of absolute priority. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. And we see that later on in this text, and in Proverbs 31, as her husband sits at the gate. Proverbs 19:14, a prudent wife or a wise wife comes from the Lord. And so we see first and foremost that a virtuous mother is one who fears God. Secondly, a virtuous mother is one who is an excellent wife. Thirdly, a virtuous mother is others focused. Look at verse 13 here. Verse 13. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it's still night, and she gives her food to her household and portions to her maidens. Look down in verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. There are two amazing things here that we see. A virtuous mother is others focused. Firstly, she's others focused in regards to her own household. She's not about preserving herself. She doesn't care about having her own space. She's not trying to build some little kingdom where her name goes out. No, rather she finds fulfillment and joy in her service to her children and to her maidens. She does not eat the bread of idleness, but she is productive. Why? She's out there. She's looking for wool and flax so she can provide clothing and bedding and all those other things that are needed in a home that makes it a home. She works with her hands, and look what it says, and her work with her hands, she works in delights. This is the joy of her heart. She is constantly searching out the provisions that this world offers to her and to her family. She is, and I love this because this is my wife, she is the quintessential bargain hunter. Right? She finds the best for the least amount of money. She's not lazy. She's not slack. She's self-disciplined as she sets out early in the day before even the rising of her family. She's up and she establishes the needs and meets the needs of her household. She doesn't complain. She isn't disdained in her task, but she finds delight in what she does. She's not a martyr. She shares the workload here with her maidens. She gives portions of work to her maidens to help her in the task. And she delights in it. And she wants them to delight in it. Mothers, here this morning at Hickman Church, I want to encourage you to delight in motherhood. Be that mother that rises up and loves your children and cares for them and provides for your home. Too many mothers are leaving the home and putting their children out there in daycare and trying to make another buck so they can have another bedroom. That's not the way it should be. Some of you grew up in homes where four of you lived in the same bedroom, and there aren't too many families here that have more than four children. How many bedrooms do we need? How many cars do we need? How many garages do we need? How much stuff do we need? Let me implore you this morning. You have one shot at this. You have one opportunity as a mom to invest your life in your children's life. And don't think that from 18 months old to 4 years old, there is no training to be done. Don't think that you can do anything you like and it will not have an impact on your children later. It will. It'll have a huge impact. What you do in those early years is so formative. Just look at any child studies that are out there, even the humanistic ones. They'll tell you what you do in those early days and in those early years of your children's life will impact and affect the kind and quality of child that will come out the other end. I beg of you, be a woman like this woman. Love your home. Be a homemaker. Second, this woman is not only others focused to her own household, but she has an other focused mindset to the people outside her home. She's generous. She has plenty to give to the poor and needy, it says in verse 20 there. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. The idea there is that she's not just kind of writing a check and sending it to World Vision, although that's not a bad thing, don't get me wrong. But no, the idea here is she's actually involved in other people's lives. She's a hands-on person. She reaches out and touches the lives of the people in her neighborhood, in her circle of friends, and her circle of acquaintances. She's not selfish with her time. She gives of her time, totally and utterly. This is where she finds the greatest delight and the greatest fulfillment and the greatest satisfaction, the greatest joy in life is being a virtuous mother who is others focused. Number four, not only is a virtuous mother a woman who fears the Lord, not only is she a mother who must first be an excellent wife, not only is she a mother who is others focused, but she is a mother, and as a mother is industrious and entrepreneurial. And I know this is, I've already said this, but let me read this to you again. Proverbs 31:16. Read this with me. She considers a field and she buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Wow. Whew. She is a busy, industrious woman. She girds herself with strength. She makes her arms strong. I'm not sure she's into bodybuilding as such, but you know, she's strong. She doesn't just fold over, you know, oh, life's tough. I've got to go to bed for the next 6 hours. Please don't wake me. I can't face the world. She's not like that. She's strong, she's determined, she's focused, and she makes linen garments and she sells them and she supplies belts to the tradesmen, verse 24. I mean, she's just supermom. But she's a supermom, you know why? Because she is industrious. Because in the depths of her heart, she's doing all of this for her family and for others and ultimately for the glory of God and the honor of her husband. When all other responsibilities that she has in the home have been fulfilled, when her responsibilities to her neighbors have been fulfilled, then she shows forth her resourcefulness and she comes alongside her husband. And I believe in this context, the buying of a field here would have been in line with what her husband was doing. And I don't know what you mums here, I don't know what all your husbands do, but you need to invest your life in supporting your husband. Use the brains and the ability and the intellectual prowess that God has given you and the resourcefulness God has given you as wives and as mothers to go out and support the building of your family. I beg of you. We live in a nation that has redefined family to mean any number of people who live under the same roof. That is not God's definition of family. A family is when there is a husband and a wife. That's a family. And the children are the addition to that family, but the family exists at a husband and wife level. Don't misunderstand that. Don't let the world tear that apart, because that's what it's doing. That's why homosexuality and lesbianism and all the free sex and love and so on, and marriage and remarriage and divorce and the mess that's out there, everywhere you go, I'm telling you, that's not God's ideal. Don't become that career woman who separates herself from her husband, but be a woman who works alongside her husband and who brings the skills and the abilities and the gifts God's given you to supply to your house. A virtuous woman is industrious and entrepreneurial. Fifthly, a virtuous mother is confident of the future. Look at verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Come down to verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing as she smiles at the future. Oh, I love that. There's no anxiety in this woman for the future. This mother is able to smile. One, because she trusts in a sovereign God, but two, because out of the gifts and the talents He has given her, she has been industrious, she's been a good steward of those, she has fulfilled her role as a mother, her children and her husband are clothed and cared for, and she can smile at the future. She has resource. She has backing. If the climate is harsh, she's prepared with adequate clothing and bedding to keep the family warm. She lives a life trusting in the sovereignty of God to sustain her and her family. She leaves the results of her labors in God's hands. And the Bible says this, that if you don't work, neither shall you eat. But if you labor with your hands, then God will bless that labor. God is the one who takes a crop and makes it 50, 60, 70, 100-fold, doesn't He? He's the one who supplies the seed to the sower and gives the harvest back to the farmer. And that's a true principle in every area of life, and it's true in this area of motherhood. Number six, a virtuous mother builds up her family. Look at verse 22 and 23. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits amongst the elders of the land. I love that. A virtuous mother longs to see her husband functioning in a place of honor. And she supports him. She clothes herself in a manner, as it says here, with fine linen and purple. She is a woman of dignity. She stands with her husband in his role, and she stands with him all the way. She's not pulling away from him. She's building her family. She's not tearing her family apart, but she's building it up. And she does that first and foremost by her honor and respect to her husband, and she does that as she undergirds her children's lives and instructs them and teaches them. I've said it here before, but I tell you, I know where the credit goes for my children. It doesn't lie with me, it lies with their mom. The hours and hours and hours and days that have gone by that my blessed wife has poured her life into our children. Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands." Don't be that woman. A virtuous mother builds up her family. Number seven, a virtuous mother speaks with wisdom. She speaks with wisdom. Verse 26, look at it with me here. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Here is a woman who knows God's word as a result of investing time in that word. She is in truth a woman who teaches the true grace of God every day of her life. One, by how she lives, and two, by her words of wisdom. She is in truth a woman who teaches this grace of God as she longs that her children would sit under her tutelage, they sit at her feet, that they would grow through that process into godliness, they would grow up and get married and love their husbands and manage their homes and give glory to God at every level and bless their children. This is a woman, this is a virtuous mother, a mother who speaks with wisdom, a mother whose heart has let the word of God dwell in it richly. I want to say this here this morning, but There's no out for you ladies. Oh yes, in this church we call for men to teach and to lead and to deliver the doctrines of this church from this pulpit. We understand that's male responsibility, but there's no out for you ladies. You have a divine, God-given responsibility to instruct and teach your children and others that God would bring into your life. And to do that effectively, you need to know the Word of God. You should be able to leave here every Sunday with some nugget of truth that you can then apply to your life and then teach your children that nugget of truth. This is the pattern. This is the God-given pattern. A virtuous mother speaks with wisdom. So what have we had so far? A virtuous mother is a mother who fears God. A virtuous mother is a mother who must first be an excellent wife. A virtuous mother is others focused. She's focused in her household and to those outside her household. A virtuous mother is industrious and entrepreneurial. A virtuous mother is confident of the future. She is one who builds up her family, and she is one who speaks words of wisdom, God's word, God's revelation. And finally, a virtuous mother is to be praised. Look at verse 28 through 20 through 31, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands. Let her works praise her in the gates." She's praised by her children. Her children rise up and bless her. Children here this morning, we ask you to sit in. We ask you to sit in this morning and we want you to listen. I want all the children's ears listening and all their eyes looking this way, okay? I'm looking for all the children. We wanted you to stay in here. You listening, Noah? Good. Good. Okay, I've got all your ears. Now listen, there's only two things God asks of you as a child. Did you know that? Two things. What are they? Can you tell me, Noah? I'll tell you. Two things. Obey your mom and dad and honor your mom and dad. The greatest blessing you can bring to your mother this day is when she says, "Would you pick up your clothes and put them away?" And you go, "Yes, mom, absolutely." And you go and do it. And when you say, "Hey, can you come and help mum here set the table?" "Yes, mum, I'm here. I'm right at it." Okay, that's the greatest thing you can do to bless your mum today. And secondly, when you honor her through your obedience, when you honor her by listening to her words of wisdom, then you bless her. When you become that young man or that young woman that she longs as a woman of God for you to become, then you bless her and you honor her. Husbands, we are called to praise such a woman here. "This man, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Men, your wives are to be praised because they are of far greater value than the jewels and the gold and the greenback dollar and the car in the garage and everything else. Your wife is to be honored as a virtuous woman. Because she is trustworthy, because she is a woman who does you good and not evil. John MacArthur put it this way: the husband who has a virtuous wife and a virtuous woman is one who has no lack of gain, for she is the steward of all he has gained. She is in charge of the day-to-day business. She is careful, wise, scrupulous. He can give himself totally to his work to provide for her and the family, knowing that what he provides will not be frittered away on worthless fleshly impulses. To live for him is her constant joy and happiness. She spends her life to see that her husband will be all that God wants him to be. End quote. I'm going to try and wrap this up this morning. When you study some of the great, positive, history-making figures of the world, you will often find them speaking of the influence of their mothers. Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." George Washington said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education that I received from her." Dwight Eisenhower was once asked, "Mr. President, you have known every great man of our time. Who is the greatest man that you have ever met?" Without a moment's hesitation, he said, "The greatest person I ever met was not a man. It was my mother." General Douglas MacArthur said, "My sainted mother taught me devotion to God and love for my country, which has ever sustained me. To her I yield anew a son's relevant thanks." The great preacher G. Campbell Morgan had four sons, all who became preachers, and at a family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons, "Which Morgan is the greatest preacher?" With his eyes beaming with delight, the son looked over to his father and said, "Why, it's my mother." Spurgeon said, "I cannot tell how much I owe to the solemn words of my mother." Mothers, this morning, we salute you. We salute you today, and we praise God for the gift of motherhood. We praise God for designing such an amazing, intricate, blessed gift as motherhood. We praise God for you because you have sacrificed much and given much, because you have laid your lives down for your children and for your husbands. We praise God for the grace and the strength and the dignity and this blessed high calling that we see so many of you embracing this morning. And I want to call you men again this morning to stand with me this morning against the powerful influences and pressures of the secular world in which we live that have demeaned and pressed down this precious calling. Virtuous motherhood is truly a special calling. It is the result of a life empowered by God. It is a high and glorious calling. Your job in being a mother at home requires a challenge unequaled in this world. The virtuous mother is involved in fashion decorating, recreation, transportation, romance, cuisine, dining, literature, medicine, handicraft, art, horticultural, economics, government, community relations, pediatrics, geriatrics, entertainment, maintenance, processing, direct mail, law, accounting, religion, energy, and management. And anyone who can handle all of those things at once has got to be someone special indeed. Whew! And so, husbands, fathers, I exhort you to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might present to himself a bride who is spotless and blameless, one who is complete. Children, I exhort you this morning that you learn to obey your mom, that you hear that she speaks not from her own authority, but from God's authority under her husband's authority. And that you listen to her as you would listen to your dad, as you would listen to the Lord. Proverbs 30 verse 17 says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick them out, and the young eagles will eat them." There is no future for children who live in a dishonoring and disobedient way to their parents or to their mom. There is no future. But for the one who obeys and the one who honors, there is a promise that you will live long on this earth. And so for all of us here today, and all of us have had or do have a mother, I call upon you to honor and to encourage your moms and to glorify God for giving you the mom he gave you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the richness of the description of a virtuous mother, the rich characteristics that fill and surround her life. And I beg that this, even this morning, you would put such an insatiable desire in every mom's heart to be that woman so that she might glorify you to the fullest. And Father, if she does not know you, And if there be any here this morning who do not know what it is to fear you to such a level that they come to you for salvation, then I pray, Lord God, you would open their hearts this day and give them the courage, give them the faith, give them the eyes to see that they might come, repent of their sin, confess it to you, and find forgiveness and mercy from the throne room of your grace. And so we ask for this, and we give you this day, and we celebrate this day for the gift of motherhood. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.